There's a verse that's repeated in some of the Psalms and in other places in the Old Testament that talks about the nature of our Father, of our Heavenly Father. And that verse says that you, Lord, are a God full of mercy and grace, slow to be angry, and full of love and truth. Full of mercy, full of grace, full of love, and full of truth. Those four things go together. What God was really speaking to us about last night was just how merciful and gracious and full of love He has been towards us as our Heavenly Father. Tonight He wants us to focus especially on the fact that He is full of grace and how the fullness of His grace needs to keep impacting our lives in a new way. God is not only going to speak to us tonight, He's going to do something. He's going to do something in each of us, but He's going to do something corporately amongst us. But what He does is going to be as we respond to His word of grace. Now, grace follows mercy. The two are different and they mustn't be confused. Sometimes when I'm overseas, I have to say that to my translator because in some languages, people often translate those two things by the same word, and that's really not correct. God has shown us His mercy by dealing with us in exactly the opposite way that we deserve. What the scripture says is that, you know, everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody can ever deserve anything from God. Nobody has got any right to claim anything from God as and of themselves. And it was essential if God was to bring people into a real living relationship with Him for Him to show them His mercy. And so Jesus came and died on the cross in order that we might receive, first of all, the mercy of God. And because of that mercy, He has forgiven all of our sins. Now, up until that point, when a person is forgiven, that person is living under judgment and in condemnation. Jesus makes that absolutely clear in John chapter 3, there's that well-known verse about, God loving the world, that He sent His Son, that all who believe in Him might not perish but have eternal life. But then in the verses immediately after that, Jesus makes clear that, yes, all those who believe have eternal life, but those who don't believe remain under judgment and condemnation. That is because all sinners live under judgment. So what Jesus did through the work of the cross was to come and save us from the judgment that we deserve. To do that, He had to give His life as a sacrifice for us. So the first way in which we experience the love of God in a personal way is through his mercy. And so that mercy is expressed in the forgiveness of sins, and because of that forgiveness, we can be reconciled with God, we can be brought back into relationship with God, we can be made righteous and totally acceptable in God's sight. That's all the work of the mercy. That mercy transforms us from people living in condemnation and under judgment into people that are forgiven and fully accepted in the sight of God and made righteous in his sight, because Jesus becomes our righteousness. Now, that work of mercy opens the way for his grace. And just as that mercy transforms us from what we were into what we are now as a new people, a new creation, so the mercy of God, the grace of God, then imparts to us what we don't deserve. So God deals with us in his mercy to bring us into the place where we can then receive all the gifts of his grace. So the work of salvation means that God can do what he was talking to us about last night, take the life of his son Jesus and place it in us. That's the work of grace. God can anoint us with the Holy Spirit and with the fire of his love. That's a work of his grace. God can impart blessing to us in all kinds of ways. We have already been given, the scripture says, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Why? Because by his grace, he has placed us in Christ. He's made us one with him, so that now all the blessings of Christ are ours. That's the work of his grace. So the work of his grace was evident right from the beginning when God gave us salvation, gave us the life of his son, gave us the Holy Spirit, made us the new creation that we are now. All the work of his grace. However, God's grace is not there just at the beginning of our Christian walk. God wants us to live continuously in that grace. John, when he opens his gospel in the first chapter, he talks about what it really meant for those who knew him in the flesh, those who walked with him day by day, what that was actually like. And he said that from his fullness, literally the Greek means, it's not always translated like this in all the modern translations, but literally the Greek means that from his fullness we all received grace upon grace. In other words, we didn't just receive grace once by being saved, but we received grace upon grace, grace upon grace. The NIV says one blessing after another, but the Greek is much stronger than that. It's grace followed by grace, followed by grace, followed by grace, followed by more grace, and more grace, and more grace. In other words, God is always wanting to give to us what we don't deserve. The only way that you can qualify for grace is even though you're saved, even though you're made one with Jesus, you know that in and of yourself you still don't deserve anything, you can't earn any of his blessings, that everything that comes from God is a work and a gift of his grace. And so Paul talks about the fact that now, as the children of God, we stand every day in his grace. And what God wants to do is to impart to us, by his grace, everything that we need for our lives. There's a sense in which he's already done that. You see, he's already blessed us. in Christ with every spiritual blessing. He has already made us participators of the divine nature, and given us everything that we need for life and godliness. This is all the work of his grace. But what he wants is to release those blessings, to release that life, to release the power and whatever else into our lives day by day. Now, the secret to that is actually something very, very simple, but very profound. What the scriptures about grace keep affirming in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, because the Old Testament talks about the grace of God as well as the New Testament. But in talking about the grace of God, it talks about the favor of God. Now, you see, if we are a people of grace, we are a people upon whom God looks with favor. You could say, therefore, that we're all favorites. A favorite is one who receives favor. It isn't that he favors one more than the other, but his favor is upon his children. And he expresses that favor in what he gives to them by his grace. Now, why is this so significant? Why understanding that is so much of his life and power released into our lives? Well, as I say, it's basically very, very simple. You see, when you pray, do you believe that God is looking upon you with favor? You see, if he looks upon you with favor, then you know in your heart that prayer is to be answered. You look at yourself and you can't see any reason why God should look upon you with favor. You might be conscious of all kinds of things in your life that still are not really the will of God. You might be conscious when you pray that, you know, you've messed up in this and you've been wrong in that and you've needed to forgive this and ask for forgiveness for that. And we get sometimes so sort of obsessed with ourselves and just sort of getting right with God in that way that we lose sight of the fact, okay, having got anything right with him that I need to put right with him, I am now in his favor. And because I'm in his favor, he wants to bless me. He wants to give to me. He wants to answer me. Not just for myself, but in whatever I'm praying for other people. But when you pray with other people, what are they going to receive? Well, to a great extent, it all depends upon whether they have the faith to believe that God will favor them. That they actually are living in the favor of God. You see, there is so much unbelief amongst God's people simply because they don't really believe they're living every day in the favor of God. If I believe that I'm living in the favor of God, God will favor me today. God will care for me today. God will provide for me today. God will answer me today. All because of his favor. Now you could say, all because of his grace. But what does it mean to say that we live in the grace of God? It means we live in His favor. When you favor someone, you treat them in the best possible way that you can. And my Father loves me so much that despite all my weakness and all my failings, I am still a child of His favor. And He will still pour His favor upon me day by day by day. Now, it's because of that great truth that God could say to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Now, that's another way of saying, "My favor is sufficient for you." It doesn't matter what situation you're in, it doesn't matter how weak you feel, it doesn't matter what opposition you have to encounter, my grace, my favor will always be sufficient for you. And then you remember he said, "And my power is made perfect in your weakness." That in fact the answer or the key to seeing my power released and at work in your life is because you believe that you're living in my favor despite your weakness. And you've heard me say many times before that what that really means is that your weakness doesn't matter. And Paul, you see, this was the revelation that Paul received. And so he went on to say, "In that case, I will boast about my weakness, that the power of God, that the favor of God, that the grace of God will rest upon me. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why am I strong when I'm weak? Because of His favor, because of His grace, because He holds me in that favor." So this is a very simple truth, but it's a very profound truth. What it requires of us, very often, is a change of mindset. Instead of thinking that God is displeased with us, we realize we're children of His favor, that He looks upon us with favor. Oh, we saw last night that we can't abuse the grace of God. We can't take God for granted. We can't just push His word and His purposes to one side as if they don't matter, because the thing that matters more than anything in our lives is to see the will of God fulfilled. But how is the will of God going to be fulfilled in your life? Not through your striving, not through your straining, not through anything you can do in your own strength, but simply through His favor, through His grace. So I need, and you need, a mindset that thinks, "I am favored by God." Do you remember that when the angel appeared to Mary, the angel said that she was favored. Why was she favored? Because God had chosen her to be the mother of His Son. That she was going to be impregnated with the seed of Jesus through the activity of the Holy Spirit. So she was highly favored. But you see, by the same token, when God chose you, chose to save you, when God the Father chose to put Christ in you when you were born again, that meant you, like Mary, were highly favored. She had Christ in her physically. You have Christ in you spiritually. But the same principle holds good. You are highly favored. And you see, God chose you for that because He chose you to know His will and to do His will. That's what your life is all about. You see, you're not whatever your occupation is, a housewife, a nurse, a teacher, a business person, a tradesman. You're not that, and you happen to be a Christian. But you're a Christian who happens to be a nurse, or a housewife, or a businessman. See, the call upon your life is not your occupation. Call upon your life is to be a believer, is to follow Christ. You have an occupation in the world for all kinds of reasons, to support yourself, your family, and so on and so on. But actually the call of God on your life and what is going to matter on the day of judgment is not whether you're a good businessman, but how you honored the Lord and how you fulfilled His call upon your life to be one who lived in Christ with Christ living in you, and what fruit came out of your life as a result of that. That's what's going to count, not how much success you had in the business world or anything of a worldly nature like that. So the favor of God must be upon you, because if that was not true, then Christ would not live in you. You would not have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You would not have been saved. You would not know Jesus. You would not have any hope of eternal life. But you have all those things because God's favor is upon you. Now, this raises the question, is God's favor always upon you? Does what you do affect whether God's favor remains upon you or not? Supposing you got into some area of sin and God was convicting you, but you still hadn't repented, and that's, you know, there's a little bit of rebellion in that, isn't there? You're still resisting the purpose of God. Is God's favor still upon you? Or does He lift His favor until you come back into line, and then His favor comes upon you again? Interesting question. But what's the answer? The answer is that God never changes. That you are always a child of God, even if you're a disobedient child of God. Even if you're a child of God who sins, His favor is still there for you. Now, you might not be living in that favor because of what you have chosen to do. Let's think for a moment of the parable of, you know, the father and two sons, what is often called the prodigal son. This prodigal son, what did he do? He came to his father and he said he wanted his share of the inheritance. Now, one thing is implicit in that: he believed in the favor of his father. He believed that if he came and asked for his inheritance, the father would give him that inheritance. Now that is in contrast to his older brother, who hadn't even asked for a goat to have a feast with his friends. He was one who was so taken up with what he did, his hard work, the way he was serving, and so on. He didn't actually believe in the favor or the grace of his Father. He didn't expect the Father to give him anything. Otherwise, he would have come and asked for a goat to have a feast with his friends. But this young son, he believed in the favor of God, in the favor of his Father. So therefore, the Father gave him that share of the inheritance that was his. Now, sadly, he went off and wasted the inheritance. And therefore, that led to a whole period of time when he was isolated from his father. He was separated from his father. But we know that he came to repentance and he came to a change of heart and mind. I have sinned before heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He made up his little speech, didn't he, before he returned to the Father. But when he returned to the Father came running down the road to meet him, and the boy couldn't actually finish, the son couldn't finish his speech before he was embraced in these great arms of love from the Father. Why? Because the Father's favor was still upon him, because he was his son. Now, while he was off separated and doing his own thing, wasting his inheritance, living a sinful, lecherous kind of lifestyle, he could not enjoy the favor of God. But the favor of God was still there waiting for him. The mercy of God, the grace of God, the favor of God. And so, you know, the Father didn't actually allow him to say, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired. He couldn't get to that part. Treat me as one of your hired servants, because he was a son. He was a son upon whom the favor of his father remained, even though he had done such an idiotic thing with the inheritance that the father had given him. But still the favor was there. And what happened when he came back to the Father, he came back into the favor of God. It wasn't that God had ceased to regard him with favor. It's simply that he hadn't been able to avail himself of the favor of God. But as soon as he returned to the Father, he was back in the favor. He was back, therefore, in the grace. And so what did the Father do? He immediately started to lavish gifts upon him. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring for his finger. Bring shoes for his feet. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a feast to celebrate. Because this my son was lost, but he's found again. See, the favor was there. The favor was there waiting for him. The silly Charlie had gone off and wasted his inheritance, wasted a whole period of his life. But when he came back, he was restored to the favor that was waiting for him all the time. If he'd come back 6 months earlier, he would have found the favor waiting for him. And you see, the favor of God will always be upon your life. Always, for the rest of your life. Now, how you choose to live in that favor is up to you. God won't force his favor upon you. But what we need to understand is that God wants us to believe in his favor, to believe that he will favor us, that he will be gracious to us, that he will give us all that we need, that he will supply for every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We believe that when we pray for healing, we'll receive healing because of his favor. Every work of healing is a work of his mercy and grace, but we can expect to receive that healing because of his favor. It isn't that we're going to be healed because we know all the healing scriptures and we can quote all the healing scriptures and we can try to twist God's arm and say, well, Lord, I'm believing your word and this and this and this and this and this and this, because actually God hears all that. But I believe what he says, the sort of bottom line is, yeah, well, all right, I hear all that, you believe all that, but do you believe in my favor? Do you believe that in my favor, I will now touch your life with my healing grace and power? Can you be so conscious of my favor, so believing in my favor, so confident about my favor, that whatever you ask in prayer, you will believe that you have received it? Even before you see anything happen. Isn't that what Jesus says? Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Why do you believe you have received it? Because of the favor of God. I'm one of his favorites. I'm one of his favored people. I'm one of his children. So greatly blessed. Hallelujah. Some of you will have come out of backgrounds like myself to a certain extent where all kinds of things may have happened in your early life and in your childhood to make you have a pretty low opinion of yourself and not very much confidence. You might be one of those really introverted kind of people. I was when I was young, when I was a kid. I was very much like that. But you see, when you begin to understand the favor of God, it doesn't matter what you were. You are who you are now because of God's favor. So God doesn't want you to think of yourself as a rejected person, as an inadequate person, as someone who is a failure, someone who is of no consequence. You're not one of the also-rans. I'm just there to make up the numbers. God wants you to get rid of all that kind of thinking and to understand, no, I'm one of God's favored people. I'm a child of his grace. His favor rests upon me. Every day I live in his favor. Every day I expect him to show me his favor. Hallelujah. Now God is talking to us about this journey being about reformation in his church, in the whole of his church. And I shared with you on Monday evening that vision of the orchard and the trees in the orchard and how each of those trees stands for a church. And of course, the branches are the individual members that make up the particular churches, those particular trees. When God looks upon this orchard and he sees the whole variety of stuff that's going on now, the good, the bad, and the indifferent, hardly a bride, as we saw last night, hardly a bride that is fit and ready for the king to return. But God wants to reform the church so that it does become the kind of church that he wants, that it is a bride that is fit and ready for the return of Jesus. He wants a church that is going to be powerful and effective in bringing the gospel to the nations, because every nation is going to have to be impacted by the gospel before Jesus comes. I believe that means there's got to be a viable manifestation of the kingdom of God amongst every people group before Jesus comes. So there's a little way to go before that's going to happen. But praise God, we are part of the process that is building up towards that. But if you can sort of try to get into the mindset of God, I know that's a little bit difficult, but can we try to imagine how God thinks of this orchard, how he thinks of this church, how he looks upon all these multiplicity of congregations and sees some are doing well, some are really in a mess, and some as division and all kinds of stuff going on. What is in his heart towards all that? It's not judgment, because he's withholding judgment, isn't he, in order to bring salvation. There won't be any judgment until Jesus comes again. But so he's not having an attitude of judgment upon the church. He's not got an attitude of condemnation, because he sees so much stuff going on that isn't his will, so many ways in which the world is impacting the church rather than the church impacting the world. He sees all this, and it must, in a sense, I don't know if God can ever get upset, but I don't think he's fazed by it, because he knows what he's going to do about it. He knows how it's all going to work out in the end. God has actually read the last chapter of the book of Revelation, so he knows what's going to happen. Hallelujah. He wrote that because he can see it. So I don't think he's fazed by that, but I think what is in his heart is, oh, if only they understood my favor. If only they understood how I want to show them my favor. All these branches of every tree, he sees all kinds of stuff going on, all kinds of relationship problems and difficulties and this, that, and the other, sin and disobedience and compromise. He said, if only they understood my favor. If only they understood that there are people of my favor, they wouldn't behave like that. They wouldn't think like that. They wouldn't act like that. They would realize that my desire is to show them my favor, and they're missing out. They're full of their own programs and agendas and this and that and the other, and all the time I want them to be a people of my favor. And you see, he knows that if he can turn a congregation, just one of these trees in the orchard, into a people that know his favor, they're going to have a tremendous impact upon others, because others will be drawn out of judgment, condemnation, fear, sin, disobedience, and into the favor of God. What they will see, the witness that they will see in the church, is of a people that are so highly favored. That's what God wants to do amongst us. He's not whipping us and beating us and scolding us and saying, look, I can see every unholy attitude, every unholy thought. I can see every sin. I know everything that goes on in your life, and boom, boom, boom. All that is true. He sees all that. But still, his favor is upon us. And he says, now, if only you focus on my favor, you won't focus on all that other stuff. And if you want to live in my favor, you know you stop doing that as soon as you begin to judge others, as soon as you are critical of others. You are no longer, my favor is still there, but you're no longer able to take hold of that favor and live in the good of that favor, because now you're doing the very opposite to what I've said, that because I've been so merciful to you, you are to be merciful to others. And I believe this is why Jesus says, if you don't forgive others their sins, God won't forgive you your sin. Why? Because you've stopped living under his favor. And if you stop living under his favor, then you don't experience the mercy, and you don't experience the grace in the way that you did when you lived in his favor. Are you understanding? So it isn't that God ceases to regard you with favor. He says, while you're doing all that stuff, you can't enjoy my favor. Just like that prodigal son, he was off pleasing his flesh, doing exactly what he wanted. But although the favor of his father was still there, he wasn't living in it. He was living in something else altogether. So I believe that in this whole reformation that God wants to bring about in his church, it's bringing people back into a place, or for some people, for the first time, into a place where they know the favor of God. They believe the favor of God. They live every day of their lives in the favor of God. Now, what God has said to me about this meeting tonight, as we were worshiping at the beginning, God suddenly said to me, "This is the breakthrough night." And then he said, "My people aren't going to break through to me. I'm going to break through to them." And he said, "The reason why I'm going to break through to them is because they're going to believe in my favor. And if they believe in my favor, they no longer have to wait for me to do something. They believe me to do it." I believe many people here tonight, if not all of us, in some way, issues are going to be dealt with in our lives by the favor of God, by the grace of God. Because I believe that, you know what? What he's wanting us to understand is the favor has been there all the time, but we haven't always believed it. We haven't believed it in a personal way, you know, for ourselves, for yourself. You may not have believed, "Oh, I'm a child of God's favor. Every time I pray, he's going to show me favor." But isn't that what the scripture says? That we are to approach the throne of grace. What is the throne of grace? It's the throne of his favor. See, the grace of God is the favor of God. So he says, "I want you to approach the throne with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith." Why? Because there you will find mercy and grace or favor to help you in your time of need. So whenever we pray, you see, we're praying to the one who sits on the throne of grace, on the throne of favor. And he says, you come to that throne with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith that you're a child of his favor. And you will receive his mercy. So whatever stuff, you know, is not really in line with his will and purpose, with his favor, God will forgive that. You will receive his mercy, and you'll receive grace, and you'll receive favor in your time of need. Every time you come to that throne of grace. So I believe there's all kinds of issues that are going to get nailed tonight. Probably a lot of people are going to be healed, not because somebody's going to stand up here and have words of knowledge, but simply because in your heart you will believe in the favor of God for you. And you will realize that that favor is always there, despite what you are, what you've done, and everything. And okay, if there's stuff that needs to be put right with God, put right, because there you find, first of all, mercy, but then there's the grace, there's the favor of God. And his favor rests upon you. You know his favor rests upon you, because he's already shown you his favor. He's already called you. He's already chosen you. He's already put Christ in you. He's already filled you with his Holy Spirit. He's already given you salvation. He's already given you the gift of eternal life. He's already given you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He's already made you a participator in his divine nature. He's already given you his very great and precious promises, so that you have everything you need for life and godliness. He's already done all that, so he's already shown you. You must be a child of his favor. You must be, because none of that could be true for you unless you were a child of his favor. And because you're a child of his favor, you will always be a child of his favor. Hallelujah. You might not always live in his favor, but that's your fault, not his fault. He will still always have that favor towards you. His grace will always be there for you. Hallelujah. So you see, so often we put the emphasis upon ourselves, you know, our walk and what we do and what God needs to do and boom, boom. Whereas all the time he says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he's the one through whom you have received the favor of God. He's the one through whom you have received the grace of God. And from his fullness, there is grace upon grace, grace upon grace, grace upon grace, favor upon favor, favor upon favor. This is what John is saying. Those of us who knew him, this is what it was like every day of his life. Favor. Favor from God. We saw the favor of God every day. Whatever was happening, there was the favor of God. There was the favor of God. There was more of the favor of God. There was more of the grace of God. There was God giving. There was God undertaking. There was God enabling. There was God providing. There was God just enabling the things that came against us to flee from us. It was all the grace. It was all the favor of God, the favor of God, the favor of God, the favor of God. Hallelujah. Oh, this reformation, this move of the Spirit that is going to bring people back into the favor of God is going to transform so many churches, so many lives. It's going to have such an impact upon nations during the coming years because God's people will rediscover the favor of God. Now, they won't abuse that and say, okay, because I'm saved, it doesn't matter what they do, what we do. Oh, yes, it does, because we've got to be fruitful, haven't we? And the more we live in the favor of God, the more fruitful we're going to be. The more God will be able to fulfill the plan and purpose that he has for every one of our lives as part of that plan he has for us corporately. You know, to belong to the body means that you can function, you can know the favor of God so much more than if you were isolated. You know, some people separate themselves, and the scripture says, no, don't ever give up meeting together. Why? Because when you meet together, when you come together, when you love one another as he has loved us, then the favor of God is released so much more. This is why Jesus says, you know, Father, may they be one, so that the world will know that you have sent me and that you have loved them just as you have loved me. Why? Because when there's that unity, it is so obvious to everybody, even to the world around, my favor is upon those people. Look at that love. Look at the way they love one another. Look at the unity that is there between them. Oh, they're not sniping at one another. They're not criticizing one another. They're not secretly gossiping about one another. Oh, they love one another. Oh, there's such unity. There's such love. There's such grace there. There's such favor among those people. And the world says, I want to be part of that. I want part of that action. I want to come under the favor of God. Hallelujah. It's a great vision, isn't it, that God has for his people. It's not new. It's not new. It's all there in Scripture. It's all there in Scripture. This thing that God is getting me to write in these coming weeks, it's just going to be Scripture. How the Scriptures are to be outworked in the church in this day. But that's what it is, because God doesn't have a different plan. He doesn't look at the church today and say, what I've planned so far hasn't worked. I better change the plan. Oh, no. He knows his plan is perfect. He knows his plan will work. He knows his plan is going to lead to the fulfillment of everything we read in the book of Revelation. He knows that. And so what reformation is needed just to bring people back to God's plan. To bring churches back to his plan. Stop having plans of their own. Stop trying to do this, that, and the other. He says, no, they're coming back to my plan. And my plan is they live in the favor of God. My plan is that they're a people of faith, a people of love, people of faith who believe in my favor, a people of love who love one another. And because they love one another, they live not just in a personal little bubble of my favor, but they live in a context where the favor of God is upon them as a people. They live in a much greater favor than they could ever live just on their own as an isolated, independent branch. Because no branch can survive unless it belongs to the tree. Jesus said that, isn't it? No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. So, beloved, what a wonderful God. What a wonderful Lord, what a wonderful purpose. And perhaps some of you are thinking, where have I been all this time? you know, when God's favor has been there, and I've hardly dared believe that he even hears what I say when I pray, let alone expect him to answer what I do because what I say because of his favor. But this is going to transform your prayer life, isn't it? This is going to transform your expectation when you pray, because this is why Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Why? Because his favor is upon you. You're one of his favored people. So you pray in his name, in the name of Jesus. Oh, all those who belong to the name of Jesus are in my favor. So when I hear people praying in the name of my son, my favor will rest upon them. My favor will go forth in response to their prayers. So long as that's what we believe, because Jesus said, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer if you believe. Are we there? So shall we stand? Do you want to taste the favor of God tonight? Come on, let's come and fill the space here. Praise God. I'm so happy. Are you happy? I'm so happy to be a child of God. I've got all kinds of scriptures here about the favor of God, and I never had time to read them all out, but I think you've got the point, haven't you? You got the message?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Just turn to at least three or four people before we pray and say, I'm one of God's favorites. Now, you know there is a scripture that says God doesn't have favorites. Now, what that means, he doesn't favor one above the other, but we're all his favorites. You know, if you have children, it's very important, isn't it, that you don't favor one child over the other, that they're all your favorites. You know, you don't want one to think, oh, you know, and they're complaining about how you they're the ones that always get left out. But no, they're all your favorites. You want to give to all of them because they're all your favorites. Well, that's how God looks at us. He says, you're all my favorites. My favor is upon all of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands, your heart, your voice, and begin to thank God that you're a child of his favor? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I think you can do better than that. I think this is such a glorious truth. You can really let the Lord know how pleased you are, how happy you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Come on, let's really give it to him. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a child of your favor, hallelujah. I'm a child of your favor, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Your favor rests upon me. Your word says it. Your word declares that your favor rests upon me. I thank you, Lord. I want to live in your favor every day of my life. Oh, rasata pa razata pa kalazita pa. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. I'm a child of your favor, a child of your favor. Thank you that you've shown me your favor. Thank you, Lord, that you've shown me your favor by calling me. You've shown me your favor by choosing me. You've chosen you've shown your favor by saving me. You've shown your favor by putting Christ in me. You've shown me your favor by filling me with your spirit. You've shown me your favor by blessing me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Lord, you say I lack no spiritual gift, and that's your favor. Oh, Lord, you say that your grace is sufficient for me. That's your favor. You say, Lord, that you will
You will meet every need of mine according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's your favor. You say, Lord, that you will answer my prayer if I believe. That's your favor. You say, Lord, that you will give me whatever I ask in the name of Jesus. That's your favor. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I live in your favor. I thank you for your favor. I praise you for your favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this is a breakthrough night for many of you. Why? Because all those negative thoughts about yourself, all those negative attitudes you have about yourself, come on, they're going out the back door tonight, and they're never going to come into your house again. Jesus is coming in through the front door. He's been knocking on the saying, hey, come on, I want you to know more of my favor. So push out of the back door all those negative things. Push out of the back door all those feelings of inadequacy. Oh, they're rubbish. They're absolute rubbish. You're a child of my favor. You're not a failure. You're not an also-ran. You're a child of my favor. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Oh, you're not inadequate. How can you be inadequate when I have filled you with my spirit? How can you be inadequate when I have put Christ in you? Come on, you're a child of my favor. Get rid of all that negativity. It doesn't belong. It doesn't belong. Tonight, you have a breakthrough in your mind. A new mindset. A new mindset. A new mindset. The old way of thinking is going. It's going. God is renewing your mind by the truth so that you know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What is His perfect will of God? That you live in His favor. Every day you live in His favor. Yes. Hallelujah. That you bear so much fruit because of the favor of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Can you just pass my water now?
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you. Oh, come on, thank Him for that favor. Thank you for a new mindset. Thank you, Lord. All those old attitudes are going. They don't belong to me. That's not me. They're all lies. The truth is that I am who you say I am. I have what you say I have. I can do what you say I can do. Come on, I'm believing you, Lord. I'm believing your word because your favor is upon me. I'm one of your favorites. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, God's doing something supernatural here now. God's doing something supernatural. Oh, you're no longer what you were. You are who you are, a new creation in Christ Jesus, with Christ Jesus in you. Hallelujah. You're one of God's favored people. You're one who He has chosen to belong to Himself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God. Now, you might want to say sorry to Him. You might want to say, sorry, Lord, that I've all that favor has been there waiting for me, and I've been off somewhere else worrying about myself, fearing this, fearing that, doing whatever. Perhaps some of you are saying, doing my own thing rather than your thing, and you want to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you saved me from all that. Thank you all that now lies in the past. Thank you that tonight is a it's a turning point in my life. That from this day onward, I'm going to live in your favor every day. That it's going to be grace upon grace, grace upon grace, grace upon grace, grace upon grace, one act of grace upon another. Your favor every day of my life. Your favor in every situation of my life. Thank you, Lord, that the past is behind me where it needs to be. Thank you now, Lord, I'm reaching out for what lies ahead. A life full of your favor, a life full of your grace, a life full of your empowering, a life full of your anointing, a life full of your enabling. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. praise you, Jesus. Are you thanking him for your healing? Are you thanking him for your healing? Oh, come on, don't just say, oh, Lord, heal me. No, thank him for your healing. Because you're a child of his favor, he doesn't want you sick. He doesn't want you in pain. He doesn't want you in distress. Hallelujah. Come on, he wants you to believe in his favor. You come before the throne of grace now. There you find mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. So what is your need? It may be healing, it may be relationship thing, it may be something else. Whatever it is, that grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. That favor is waiting for you. Come on. That favor is there. The throne of God. It's the throne of his favor. It's the throne of grace. Just come before that throne right now. Begin to pour out your heart to him. Tell him what you believe. Thank you, Lord. I believe. I believe, Lord, that it's your favor. It's your favor. It's your grace. It's your mercy. It's not what I deserve, but it's what you have chosen, because you've chosen to make me a child of your favor. I thank you, Lord, that your favor is upon me tonight. I thank you that your favor is upon me at this very moment. I thank you, Lord, that your favor is here now to meet the need in my life. I thank you, Lord, that your favor is there even to impact my body, even to do physical things, even to do miraculous things, even to do supernatural things in my life. And I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you praise. I bless you, Lord. I thank you for your favor. I thank you for your favor. I thank you that you show me favor. I thank you that you show me favor tonight. I thank you that you show me favor right at this moment. I thank you that things in the future are not going to be as they are in the past because of your favor. I thank you, Lord. I'm coming right back to your favor. I'm coming right under your favor. I'm bringing every part of my life, spirit, soul, and body, under your favor. I thank you, Lord, for your favor spiritually. I thank you for your favor emotionally. I thank you for your favor physically. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you deal with emotional needs. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I'm no longer going to be bound by negative emotions. I'm no longer going to be bound by spirits of criticism, jealousy, anger, and frustration. No, Lord, I thank you. I'm going to live now in the full revelation of your favor. And I bless you, and I praise you, and I exalt you, and I glorify you. I bless you, Lord. I bless you. I bless you. I thank you. I thank you for your favor. I thank you that your favor rests upon me. I thank you that your favor is at work in my life right now. I thank you, Lord, that dramatic changes are taking place in my life tonight. I thank you that this is a beginning of a new move of your spirit in my life and in this church. I thank you that now things are never going to be the same again, because we're going to live constantly, every day, every week in your favor. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that we're going to spread your favor around wherever we go. Wherever we go, we're going to take your favor. We're going to take your favor. We're going to take your life. We're going to take your presence. We're going to take your power. And I thank you, Lord, that in every situation, you're going to give us favor. You're going to give us favor in the workplace. You're going to give us favor in our home life. You're going to give us favor in our family life. You're going to give us favor in our relationships. You're going to give us favor in our marriages. You're going to give us favor with our children. And you're going to give our children favor. Oh, thank you, Lord. They're going to grow up in the favor of God. I praise you. I bless you. I thank you. I exalt you. I magnify your name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. I'm living in your favor. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Can you rejoice and just give thanks to God? Just give thanks to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on, just pour out your heart. And he deserves so much praise, so much worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Holy One. Oh, mighty, mighty, mighty one. Be glorified, Lord. Be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord is saying, the more you trust in my favor, the more I'm glorified in your life. Yes, it glorifies me for you to believe and trust in my favor, to trust in my goodness, to trust in my benevolence. Benevolence is wanting to do you good. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you that you trust in my wanting to do you good, that you trust me for your welfare. Hallelujah. Can you thank God for a new future now? A new future means that you move into a new place of hope. Hallelujah. That the future is going to be full of his favor. Hallelujah. You don't have to be anxious about the future, because God is going to give you favor in the future. Hallelujah. You're going to live in that favor. Oh, can you agree with God that you don't want to step outside of that favor? It's not that he will stop favoring you, but you don't want to step outside of that favor. Can you say to God, Lord, I want you to so work in my heart and life that I will keep in that favor. I will stay in that favor. I will live in that favor every day of my life. And I thank you that your grace and your favor will always be sufficient for me. Hallelujah. Now, God has got a call upon your life. You may be conscious of what that call is. You might not know. You might only have a very fuzzy idea. You know he's got a call upon your life, but you're not quite sure what the nature of that is going to be. You know that God is going to give you some kind of ministry, but you're not quite sure at this moment as to what the nature of that ministry will be. That might be especially true for some who are here as students, but it's probably true for lots of other people as well. Well, now, I want you to thank God that his grace, his favor, is going to be upon you, not only to reveal that ministry, but to enable you to fulfill it. Amen. That no matter what it is, and God will show you in the fullness of time, he will show you in the right way and at the right time, whatever it is he's asking of you, what he's asking of you now, because, I mean, we all have ministries now. Our ministry is to love all those that he gives us to love, you know. I mean, it's we're not looking for some sort of mystical thing here. But, you know, there are ways in which God gives particular anointing for particular ministries, for particular calls. Now, what he is saying to you is that he will give you the particular anointing. He will give you that particular way of his favor working in your life to enable you to fulfill that call. Now, can you thank the Lord for that? Because that now becomes, you see, that now becomes one aspect of your faith, that you no longer have to worry about the future. Remember, Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow, because each day has enough cares of its own. So you don't have to worry about what your future ministry is going to be, what your future calling is going to be, how God is going to work out this reformation purpose in your life. You don't have to worry about that. You just have to say, thank you, Lord. Your grace will be sufficient for me. Thank you that your favor will be upon me in whatever way is right, that your favor is upon me now to enable me to do what I need to do now, and your favor will be upon me to enable me to do whatever you ask of me in the future, whatever you lead me into in the future, whatever ministry you have prepared for me, those good things that you have prepared for me to walk in. Thank you, Lord, that your grace will be sufficient for me so that I shall walk in those good things. I shall see your plan and purpose for my life outworked. I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to miss your best. I thank you, Lord, that as I live in your favor, so I'm going to live in your best. Can you just pray that and thank the Lord for that? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. You know, God's going to give you a sort of a lightness to your step, to your walk with Him. There's going to be a new sort of sense of joy welling up within you because you realize, well, tomorrow is going to be a day of His favor. And Friday is going to be a day of His favor. And Saturday is going to be a day of His favor. And Sunday is going to be a day of His favor. And next month is going to be a month of His favor. And the rest of this year is going to be a year of His favor. And next year is going to be a year of His favor. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. From start to finish, it's going to be the favor of God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Are you happy? Are you happy? Well, just rejoice in the Lord. Come on, let's have the band. Let's have the band up. Oh, Papa Razadabaria Leduba. We want some rejoicing songs now. We just want to rejoice. It's the only thing to do, isn't it? To rejoice. Has God given you a breakthrough in your life tonight? Pardon? Yes, hallelujah. I hear lots of female yeses up here. What about the guys? Yes. God given you. That's right. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's all happening up here. What's happening in the chairs at the back? I didn't hear the responses there. Amen. God is good, isn't He? Hallelujah. What a God. What a God. What a God. Oh, what a God. Isn't it worth fixing your eyes on Him and not yourself? I mean, really, you're such a boring subject, but He is so exciting, you know. He is so exciting, isn't He? You know, you look at yourself and you see the same old stuff all the time. But you look at Him and there's always something new. There's always fresh revelation. There's always a fresh revelation of His love, of His mercy, of His grace, of His favor. Come on, let's lift our voices and praise Him.